than 8 weeks, congregation, that we were gathered here together for the last time as a congregation. And it is an incredible sense of joy to see us here together today. 8 weeks ago, I asked the congregational singing to begin with a psalter that I have in my ministry hardly ever chosen to be sung. That was based on Psalm 137, I think. By the rivers of Babel we sat down, as the poet recalls the separation from the church gathering. Today, it will be only fitting that we would, for a moment, listen to the words of Psalm 126, which is written after the captivity was reversed. And it says this: when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Not only that, in these 8 weeks we were able to minister to each other the word of God, but also there is no one missing in our church family. Coronavirus has killed many thousands. And let's not undercut that reality, as we have not been touched in any of our family circles close at hand. And that must fill us with a sense of tremendous joy and amazement and thankfulness this morning. There are still many other churches in our neighboring states and countries who are not allowed to gather as we are today. So we had several requests this last week if we could still video stream our service to them that are listening at home. And for those who are listening at home, your sound quality may not be good, because we are having the speakers on this morning. So if your sound quality is not good at home, we would encourage you switch to the website of nrcwellpond.org and just listen audio. And we will only try this for one service. If it proves to be not good, then we are eliminating the live streaming again for those who are not able to be here. Well, let's stand up together before God and receive his blessing, and let us begin our service. Our help is in thy name, O Lord. It is in thee who has made the heavens and the earth, in thee who keepeth truth and faithfulness, never forsaking the works of thy hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. We will now sing together, fitting psalm for this moment. Within thy temple, Lord, Psalter 134, within thy temple, Lord, in that most holy place, we on thy loving kindness dwell, the wonders of thy grace. So 134, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Let us now together hear the law of the Lord God. And this morning I will read it from Deuteronomy chapter 5. And let us together hear the exposition of the original law of God, that we are to love Him above all and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And what those details are, the Lord God gives us in His Ten Commandments. Let's sing together in concluding of hearing that, verse 3 and 4 of Psalter 337. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for ye were afraid by reason of the fire, and went not up into the mount, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou covet thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's.
Yeah.
Let us this morning read with each other the Psalm of David, Psalm 86. It's a remarkable psalm among the Psalms of David. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy handmaid. And show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me. So far the reading of David's Psalm 86. Let us now unite our hearts together and seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, thou art great. This man of old wrote it, sang it, confessed it, and found his rest in it. And Lord, may we join him today on this very special Sunday. Words, O God, indeed fail us, but let our feelings speak to thee when we are here together as a congregation, and with various visiting friends or family from elsewhere. And Lord, thou hast done great things for us, that we are again able and allowed to gather in this house of prayer and worship. Lord, in which we have often been so richly blessed. And may it please thee, O God, to receive our words of thanks. But please let it indeed flow out of an heart that is broken and humbled. Why, Lord, art thou mindful of us? There is indeed a difference between us and many others, even in our own country or in other countries. And gracious Lord, it is not that we are without danger, not without concern. There is a deadly sickness, new sickness in our world that has taken thousands and thousands of people, fathers and mothers and grandparents, but also men and women in the health of their strength of life, and even children, Lord. It is truly a judgment. But it bypassed us. It bypassed our church family and our relatives, Lord. Oh, I did lose an aunt in this, but others of us have been spared mostly. And dear Lord, will thou fill our hearts then with what was only fitting today. As David, why art thou mindful of us? And why dost thou visit us? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. And may it so be for us this morning. And we indeed remember those, Lord, who are still battling, perhaps dying at this moment. Those who are grieved, whose family circle is broken. There's empty places everywhere. Not only of this sickness, there's so many sicknesses, Lord, that each day takes thousands of people out of the marriages, out of the families, and the family circles. Please uphold them. Lead them, Lord, to the only comfort in life and death that is in Jesus Christ. And please, will thou bless the efforts that are taken to protect and to find medicine and to provide, Lord, for this sickness. One of the things that we've often prayed for in these weeks, Lord, is that thou would use this judgment that has touched every level of our life, also would be in thy hand a tool to awaken the minds and the consciences of us all and of our nations. Lord, thou knowest the extent of the answer upon that prayer. But we doubt not that thou hast heard these prayers and art answering them, though the extent of it may be hidden for us. For nothing happens by chance. Gracious Lord, we know thou reignest the earth. Thou governest over every aspect. There is not a drop of rain that falls without thy will. Thou used a beauty contest in the Bible to bring about the salvation of Israel in the days of Esther. There is nothing, Lord, that is not in thy control to further thy kingdom and to build thy church. And let us therefore continue our prayer that thou would even use this with all the wrong perhaps that has surrounded this virus to build thy kingdom, to gather sinners unto Jesus. And Lord, let it also be the blessing we may experience today here as we gather in this house of prayer. As we witness thy faithfulness outside, and we see a gentle rain falling on the sown seed in this area, but we know, Lord, not too far south of us, everything is overly wet. And so again, the differences thou make upon us versus to others. But as these rains remind us also of thy scripture, in which it says that thy teaching shall drop as the tender rain upon the grass, so, Lord, may thy teaching today be distilled in our hearts. And may thy spirit be poured out as that gentle power to make our hearts like David's heart. Thou prepare us to listen. Thou make thy word fruitful. to redeem our life, to enrich our life, to teach us to live for Thee, for Thy kingdom, for Thy glory. That there may be an ongoing repenting and an ongoing believing found in our hearts, Lord. Each Lord's Day, we need to confess that we failed Thee. Thou hast created us with an ability to love Thee and to love our neighbor, even our closest ones. And Lord, Thou knows what we do every week. We substitute Thee with other things, with our work or our earthly comforts or our own wisdom. We even fail to show love to our closest ones, our family. Or we fail. We not fail, we sin. And here we are again this morning, all of us guilty of not loving Thee above all, and not every neighbor as we love and nourish ourselves. Gracious God, pardon our sins. Not only the sins against Thy commandment, but also the sin against Thy gospel. For not only do we disobey the law of love, we also disobey the law of the gospel, in which Thou calls us and invites us and commands us. Oh God, please visit us this morning as we read in this psalm that Thou art a God ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy, gracious. Thou art unbelievably good. Thou hast shown that in the gift of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Even though this world cursed Thee, Thou turned around to bless it. And to bring also the message to us, Lord, though we are also revolters from the very beginning of our existence. And yet Thou hast turned and Thou hast come and Thou hast called and Thou hast labored. And Lord, also this morning we pray that the scripture we've read may become our scripture. What a moving prayer. Not only teach us to pray like David, teach us to think like David. Teach us to know Thee like David knew Thee. Teach us, Lord, to worship Thee as he worshiped Thee. Teach us to be dependent upon Thee as also he confessed in this psalm. And to value what he valued. To know Thee and to follow Thee. Preserve Thou us, O God, and teach Thou us to know Thee as that magnificent being. And some of us may be listening here this morning who are total strangers to Thee and even to themselves. O God, please make Thyself known to us that we may also see and know ourselves and learn to flee to Jesus Christ. This morning is also special, Lord, as one of our younger members has expressed her desire to bind herself today to Thee with a sacred vow, with a covenanting word. And gracious Lord, that is a blessing indeed, that Thou inclined her heart to confess what Thou hast taught her all her life, and that she desires this morning to bind herself to Thee and to Thy truth. And through all these years of her young life, Lord, hast Thou shepherded her in the teachings that are failing from our side as parents, as office bearers, as teachers. And yet Thou hast been willing to bless it and to also ripen in her heart the desire that she desires to express this morning here in Thy presence before Thee and in the presence of us as witnesses of this sacred vow. And Jehovah, we acknowledge thy faithful hand. And we pray that thy faithful hand may abide also upon this young person as he travels on in the journey remaining of this life. And enable her, Lord, to live out this confession this morning in the details of a life that is devoted to thee and to thy kingdom. Bless her to be a fruitful branch in thee, Lord Jesus, that she may bring forth fruit till her dying day and may increasingly be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And so we pray for all of our young seed here in our congregation, Lord, our boys and girls, as they may witness this. Oh, thou also bless our children, our young men and young women, all the ones. That thou, O God, ripen in each this desire and this commitment. Bless the ministry of thy word today, everywhere around this world. And especially we pray yet for thy persecuted church, hindered to worship from month to month, not, Lord, listening in their cells to any sermon, but perhaps to cursing, threats. O God, will thou please visit them today and strengthen their faith. We pray and beg all this in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let's sing together Psalter 238. Zion, founded on the mountains, God, thy Maker, loves thee well. He has chosen thee, most precious, he delights in thee to dwell. Psalter 238, all verses, congregation, the collections this morning will be somewhat changed. First of all, there will be only one collection, just for the general fund. And they're going to be collected at the exit of the service. The deacons will stand by the exit doors. It's just to be wise and to prevent whatever we can prevent of contagious diseases that we are obviously still facing today. So the mission collection that was announced in the bulletin will be actually delayed to the Pentecost Sunday and will be the only collection on that day. So just general fund today then. Psalter 238, we'll sing all three verses. Today is a glad day in various respects. As already recalled, that we are here together as a church family. But also we are here today witnessing one of our young members who has grown to the conviction that she this morning publicly desires to bind herself to the Lord that bound himself to her. Hadassah, September 29, 2003. Was one of the most significant days recorded in the history of the world in your life. A day that perhaps also Hadassah often forgot, as well as her parents, as we often do ourselves, don't we? That is the day that the Almighty, Infinite God from heaven laid his hand on your forehead and publicly mentioned his name in connection with the name Hadassah Ruth. Children, what am I talking about? What was that day? What happened? That's when this young woman was baptized. And in that significant moment, Jehovah owned her by calling his name over her, saying, I am not only your creator, I am also your Lord, the Lord Jehovah. In our brilliant confessional statements, in the back of your psalter, you find Article 34. Let me just read this one sentence from the baptism article. We believe and confess that Jesus Christ, who is the end of the law, has made an end of shedding his blood, of all other sheddings of blood which men could or would make as a propitiation or satisfaction for the sins of his for sin, and that he, having abolished circumcision, which was done with blood, has instituted the sacrament of baptism instead thereof. And then listen to this sentence: by which we are received into the church of God and are separated from all other people and strange religions, that we may wholly belong to him whose ensign and banner we bear, and which serves as a testimony unto us that he will forever be our gracious God and Father. Those are significant words that we as parents also better often recall our children to as they grow up, with this ensign and banner of Jesus Christ on their foreheads. Perhaps you children have ever seen that majestic picture of the American soldiers as they conquer Japan's island. I forget now the name of the island. And as you see those soldiers, as it were, struggling up that little hill and planting that flag on that little island. That island bore the ensign and banner of America at that moment. It's conquered. That's what happened to you. And it happened to you on the day of your baptism. But then it's not a human ensign. It's not a human mark. It's a divine mark. It is the Almighty who owns you. And every Sunday morning, we hear him reminding us of that. I am the Lord your God, which kept you out of Egypt. You weren't born in heathendom. You were born in my visible church. You were surrounded with my shepherding care. You've been given a privilege beyond all privileges as I lifted you up to dwell before the gates of heaven, as Jesus says about Capernaum. And no one seen the mighty works and heard the mighty words, but those who were so privileged. The act of baptism, friends, and it's good for us to remind ourselves in preparation also for next week Sunday morning, as we may have the sacrament of holy baptism in our midst, doesn't say anything about the heart of the baptized. It doesn't change by that. It doesn't wash away sins. It doesn't regenerate. The whole rite of baptism doesn't say anything about the heart of the child. It says everything about the heart of the baptizer, to Jehovah God. And He conveys a message to the person who is baptized. Despite the fact that we are revolters from the womb, rebels and hostile and undeserving, Jehovah God chooses to place us within the boundaries of His visible church. Listen to Psalm 95 as they say, "Lord is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." We were chosen to belong to the visible sheepfold. That doesn't make you a sheep. That is indeed necessary, that we get the work of the Spirit in our heart and are truly born again by a mighty work of the Almighty through the Word. But it is already a blessing to be in that pasture of the shepherd, isn't it? And to receive His teaching, to receive His guidance, and to receive His calling, and to receive His protection, and to receive His ministry. That you get children to your parents, that you get to your church leaders, to the preachers. But really, it's God who's doing that to you. Certainly, baptism and being part of the visible church doesn't change your spiritual condition, but it radically has changed your spiritual position. And there is no better place to grow up, boys and girls, than a home where the Bible is read, where prayer is led by your father and mother, if your father isn't there, where you're taught from your youngest years the Bible teaching, where you're confronted with the law and they're pointing out your wrong in your heart, when they are indeed disciplining you and admonishing you and teaching you so that you may grow up to put your trust in this Jehovah. In Hadassah, since your earlier days, the shepherd of Israel has been working with you from the day you were born. No, I know. From the day before you were born, you have been cast on the Lord Jehovah in the prayers of your parents and of your congregation and of your teachers in school that you've had over the years. The shepherd has been guiding and calling and teaching and directing. And what did he seek from you? That you would follow him? That you would trust him? That you'd obey him, that you would make your choices in accordance with the Scriptures, revealed will of God. But above all, he's looking for the consent of your heart. He's looking for the confession from your deepest inner being, where you would say, "Yes, Lord, I want to belong to Thee also. As Thou hast said to me, Thou want to belong to me." See, a covenant is always two parts. It's not, though it is one-sided, the work of grace, and though the covenant application is all one-sided, we don't contribute to that, Hadassah. No one of us makes ourselves willing. No one of us makes our will willing. No one of us makes our affections drawn. That's all God's work from A to Z. But in the covenant work, indeed, there is two parts. We need to answer. And dear daughter and dear young person, as member from this congregation, we pray and hope your heart is made willing to consent and to surrender to the Lord as your God. That's a personal, that's an experiential moment in your life. You don't do that here because I or Mom told you to be here. You are not doing that under the pressure of a church that says you ought to be doing this, although they may say that. You're not doing that because you reach a certain age. If all of those are the reasons you are here, it is fake and faithless. And it means nothing to God. But if you are here, Hadassah, within your heart ripened the choice, the desire to make this confession consciously, willingly, humbly, prayerfully, then maybe Psalm 86 verse 11 will be the expression of your thoughts and of your prayer today. May I lead you this morning into Psalm 86 verse 11, particularly as the word of God this hour to us all, not just to Hadassah, but let's read that text again. Psalm 86 verse 11, it says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." Psalm 86, congregation, stands out in the prayers of David. If I would have to pick a favorite psalm, in the first five psalms of the favorite Psalm 86 is way on the top somewhere. It is a beautiful and a brilliant prayer. It is one of the most moving prayers of David. 14 petitions are merged together in this very short psalm. It's like 14 arrows are shot up in prayer to heaven. And there's two reasons why this psalm is remarkable among all the psalms. First of all, because David uses 7 times the word Lord with small letters. That's just unusual. Adonai is what that means in Hebrew. That means king. Means ruler. 7 times. It's not the only one, but it's the most predominant name he uses. It's a master. For David, there is but one king. That's God. And even though he himself is a king, children, David does not feel king when he's in the presence of God. He feels there's only one king, and he confesses in this psalm that he desires to bow his entire life only to King Jehovah. That's an aspect of saving grace. Saving grace takes you from your throne and humbles you before God's throne. That's the first thing that's remarkable in this psalm. For David is beyond debate that the Lord is the greatest and the only king. You read it several times in the psalm. His confessions just keep on coming out. Thou art great. Thou art almighty. Thy deeds, thy works. But above all, to David, God's character is great. You notice in verse 5 and again in verse 10 that he brings out, verse 15, that he brings out God's incredible character. For David, that is beyond debate. All the idols around him are vain and helpless and dead and vengeful and demanding and never giving. But as he begins to see who God is, his heart cannot stop confessing him. That's another mark of saving grace, children. Saving grace opens your eyes for the greatness of God's character, and it draws you to him. Now, I have no time to expound this psalm, but the second great and remarkable thing of this psalm is the very often word "for." Children, here's a little Sunday assignment. Go count today, not now. Okay, do it after church today. How many times David uses the word "for" in this psalm? And two times it's translated with but or because. So if you add those two, how many times? And then you look at the psalm, and it is unbelievable how David, as he lays his petition, he always adds for. I'm poor and needy. For. I'm holy. He knows the promises of God, and he pleads those promises with remarkable boldness. His boldness is not based on any merit, please. He says, oh, please be merciful. He knows he's a sinner. But his boldness in this prayer is because he knows his God. And he knows his promises. And he knows he keeps his word. So please, read this psalm. Hadassah, since this is a text out of Psalm 86, I encourage you to memorize this psalm from beginning to end. It will never be a loss. Now, verse 11 is our key text this morning, and I would write as a theme on this text the three R's of the confession of faith. You're a young scholar. The three R's: reading, writing, and arithmetic. Those are the three main subjects, children, in our school, right? So now, what are the three R's of a genuine confession? I see them in this verse 11. It's first, surrender. Teach me thy way. Surrender. Secondly, resolve. I will walk in thy truth. And thirdly, entreaty. Unite my heart to the fear of thy name. This confession of David begins with a surrender. He says, Lord, teach me thy way, O Lord. David is convinced that the Lord God, that he has learned from his mother, because it appears from his mother's days that he was, look at verse 11, save the son of thy handmaid. That's his mother, the handmaid. And this David has a mother who loved the Lord, who feared the Lord. And together with Jesse, his father, they have reared David in the awareness that he belongs to Israel, that he is a Jew, that God is their God, Jehovah, that they belong to the people of the Lord, specially chosen for no other good reason than that it was God's good pleasure. There's no other reason. David wasn't a perfect young man. We don't know anything about it, but we know that he says in Psalm 25, Lord, don't remember the sins of my youth. He's broken the law. He sinned also. He's no perfect man. But he has learned through his life that the Lord God is awesome. His deeds, he writes about it. Lord, thy deeds. There's none among the gods like thee, Lord. There's none of them like the works like thy work. What works? You've done a little star study too, didn't you? Well, David was before you, long ahead of you already. The work of thy fingers, O God, thy works are just excellent beyond description. David has seen as a shepherd boy the works of God in nature. He's been there. Lord, thou art awesome. But of course, far greater is the work of God's matchless love and beauty. As fruit of our original revolt, Hadassah, children, because we are born as revolters from the womb, our eyes are closed for God. We get excited about everything in this world. We can get dreams, and we're working hard, and we get to what we want, don't we? The bad thing is that the things we want exclude God. And if there is no mighty God's work in our heart, that will never change. And we live for our toys when we're young, and we live for our friends when we're older, and we live for exciting things when we get older. Maybe we live for a car and a job and then a house and then all these things we try to get. And we'll continue to live like this. unless the God of grace enters in our heart. And he did that in David. David learned that there is none greater than the Lord. And you read through this psalm, you notice all these names he uses of God. Those are not syllables he just uses to fill in the empty spaces in his prayer. You know, as David prays, he pictures, he ponders the majestic glory of God that he's speaking to, whom he's addressing, who he's pleading with. And how does this glory of God shine in the promises that he continually refers to? Every time he has another promise in mind when he pleads, "Lord, bow down thine ear to me, for I am poor and needy." That doesn't mean that because I'm poor and needy, thou look upon me. No, God promised that he would hear the cry of the poor and needy. And David says, "Lord, thou promised. Thou would hear the cry of the poor and needy." He says, "Lord, preserve me, for I am holy." That sounds a little strange in the psalm. How could David say, "I'm holy"? He doesn't mean I'm sinless. He means, "Lord, I am specially set aside by thee as one of the Israelites. Please preserve me. I can't preserve myself. I can't teach myself. I cannot guide myself." And therefore, our first confessional R is surrender. Teach me thy way. Notice as where he bows before Jehovah and he bows before God and he says, "Lord, teach me. You are a good student. You admire your teachers. You are willingly doing work for them till the late hours of the night, early hours of the night." And thus I've seen that as a parent. But that's different in this text. David wants the Lord to teach him. "Lord, please thy way. I need to know thy way." And he surrenders with all what he knows already before God, and he craves for more teaching. He takes the student position before his teacher, and as he surrenders himself, he confesses something. He says, "Lord, everything that thou hast to teach me is valuable. Everything that thou can teach me, so I need to know." And that's what he begins with in this confessional surrender. There's no better petition, children, not only for this young woman, but for all of you and me, to bow before God and to say, "Lord, teach me thy way." Notice David didn't ask, "Deliver me from all these enemies. Change my circumstances. Help me to be better. Help me to be successful." He doesn't ask these things. He says, "Lord, teach me thy way." Not thy ways. Thy way. He didn't have the New Testament yet, but we do. Who is thy way? That's Jesus. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." David's not asking just for doctrinal knowledge. He's not asking to learn God's commandments. He's not asking to learn how God leads and teaches. With all that knowledge of the doctrines and of the commandments and of all the things that God does in the world and in his people, we remain lost. Well, let's think about that. We only will be saved when we come to know and to trust in Jesus Christ. That's a personal thing. That's an experiential thing in which my heart consents to say, "Yes, Lord, I will. Teach me. please take my heart and lead it more and more in the word and the revelation of thyself. And Hadassah, such learning always will be accompanied with an increasing sense of poverty. For if I don't know my need, I do not need him. If I am filled with self-righteousness, I do not need Jesus' righteousness. If I am full of myself, I cannot be full of God. And so when David asked, teach me thy way, he's asking something that will be hard for the flesh. That will be hard for his pride. That will be hard for his life here. But it's profitable. And so let's consider that as the first R of the confession of faith. Teach me thy way, O Lord. And the second one, the second R of a genuine confession is resolve. I will walk in thy truth. But let us together first pause to sing from Psalter 308, verse 1 and 2. Just those first two verses, 1 and 2. Not unto us, O Lord, heaven, but unto thee be glory given. So, 308, verse 1 and 2. Lord, teach me thy way. A surrender of a heart that bows before the Lord, that seeks his teaching. The second R of this confession of faith is resolve. I will walk in thy truth. I will is an expression of determination. I will is an expression of I want to, I intend to, I commit myself to such a thing. The details of David's resolve at the early stages of his kingdom life you find in Psalm 101. And it's quite a beautiful psalm to read also in connection with a moment like this. Psalm 101 was David's inaugural prayer when he became a king after King Saul had died. And children, notice what David resolves there. I will walk in thy truth. And he says such amazing things, even though he begins with a moment of prayer before God, that he would indeed enable him But he says, Lord, I determined to choose my companions carefully. Young people, will you follow David's example that way? I will walk in thy truth means I will choose my companions carefully. For the friends you choose to hang out with, children, is either going to lead you astray or lead you in the right way. No in between. He says in that psalm, Lord, I will keep my eyes from wicked things. I will not set a wicked thing before my eyes. It's a choice you make. If what you read, what you look at. And David says, Lord, none of these wicked things that will cloud my mind, that will pollute my heart, that will lead me astray, I will not have them. He resolutely resolves to turn away from all wicked and perverse hearts. Instead, he says, I resolve to cleave unto the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. And he that walks in the perfect way, he shall be in my palace. But those that work deceit, away. Those that tell he lies, none of them. Now without such an intensity of heart, without such a determination of will, as David here confesses, I will walk in thy truth. Without that, a confession of words is a hoax. A confession of words, my friends, that is not backed up with a determined walk of life means nothing. There's too much of that Christianity today. There's too much of that kind of confession that is limp and that is barren in the determinate walk in the truth of God. I'm not speaking to you, Adassa, but I'm speaking in general. Anyone who ever comes to stand before this pulpit or on something like it to consent his or her heart to another person in the day of marriage. Someday may be your day. It will be a total hoax to say, I will be yours, either wife or husband. And you don't back it up with a walk. You know, on a wedding day, you give yourself away. That's what you do. You don't get someone. You give yourself away to someone. To live and to die for such one. And that's also this morning, Hadassah, with a confession of faith. You covenant this morning with the King of Kings. He did. When he came in your life on the 29th of September to visualize it, but he came already before that, to commit himself to you. And this morning, as you will stand before God, as I ask you to stand, you don't stand before a congregation, you don't stand before your father or for the elders, you will stand before God in the month. And through him, through me, I will ask you, and you answer him. What will you answer? I will walk in thy truth. That's solemn. That will involve choices and activities. That will involve all the use of your time. That will involve every direction. That will involve the use of all your talents. That will involve the use of every opportunity God gives you. I will walk in thy truth. What truth? God's revealed will, of course. That's a matter of the heart, Hadassah, in which you are to pledge allegiance to the king, as we will soon sing together from the third verse of Psalter 308. It's a matter of our heart pledging allegiance to the honor of God, to obey Him and to serve Him and to walk in His truth. That's a mighty thing. And that's why I have challenged her and I've challenged others that if your heart is not in that determination, don't come here to make confession of faith. This is not a light thing. This is not joining a church. She is part of the church. She this morning is committing and covenanting herself to God. And young people, that is not a light thing to do. But it's also not a light thing not to do. For not doing it is saying to the God who spoke to you since you were born, I want none of thee. It's also solemn. Now let's think of that as you grow up, children. And as you see Hadassah here this morning, someday you'll be that age. When you come to the age of adulthood and maturity, and will it then be coming out of your heart, Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Now that brings me to the third R of this genuine confession. It is entreaty. But David immediately adds the words, unite my heart to the fear of thy name. I notice in the English text here, the translators put a colon behind the word, I will walk in thy truth. Notice no semicolon, no period either. A colon. Our translators quite well understood the connection of this I will walk in thy truth and unite my heart to the fear of thy name. As David commits himself with all sincerity of heart, he immediately realizes, oh God, I need something more to keep this promise than my resolve. I need thee to keep my heart united to the fear of thy name. This is the word entreaty. David knew his own heart, how easily distracted, how easily trapped in the vanities, how easily led astray in a pathway that leads to destruction, that brings darkness and death in his soul. And therefore he prays, O God, take my heart and unite it. Make my heart as a lens that is sharply focused on thee. With no fuzzy anywhere, but just completely focused on thee, Lord, and on thy will, and on walking and living in thy glorious statutes. Unite my heart, Lord. Allow not my affection to be scattered. Allow me not to be two-faced. Allow me not to have loyalties that are divided. Now that's what a beautiful prayer to take along today. I've tested you, I've questioned you, we've asked you as consistory, and you've shared with us, yes, I desire to do this. I want to do this. And we're thankful for that inner commitment that you have shown also in the choices you've made in these last years of your young life. We've seen that as parents. And we're thankful about that. We've seen it as office bearers. But my dear daughter, dear Adasa, that will fall over when you exit this door if that's all you are relying on, what you will. And therefore, take this prayer. Lord, unite my heart. Unite my purpose. Unite my resolution. Unite my affections. Unite the goal of my living. Unite the vision of my life. To fear thee. To love thee. To glorify thee. To serve thee. Even if that means, oh God, that I have to sacrifice, I have to give up, I might have to suffer, please, Lord, take my heart and unite it so to Thee that I would fear Thy name, that I would walk in the tender regard of Thy revealed will and of the glory of Thy name and the beauty of Thy person. That's what David prays. He can't promise to walk in God's truth without lifting that heart, that will, that mind, those affections before His Creator and before His Protector and before His Redeemer. And Lord, please, unite my heart. Let my consent to Thee be without hypocrisy, without half-heartedness, without insincerity. A divided heart will be the death of any relationship. In marriage life, if my heart is divided between my wife and my work, it will kill my relationship with my wife. It will chill it first. It will distance it. It will kill it eventually. God also cannot have divided loyalties. You cannot serve two masters, Jesus says. For you either love the one and hate the other. A divided heart, Hadassa, is beyond your my fix. It's God's. No inner resolve to stay on course today will be enough strength to resist the exciting and alluring pleasures and opportunities that will be placed before you by the world that has no regard for Jesus. Count on it. As Jesus walked from His ordination service into the real battle of His life of ministry, the first stopping place was a wilderness with Satan. And there everything of the world was paraded before His eyes. And Satan says, come Jesus, just give me one knee fall and it will be all yours. Alluring. Was it, wasn't it? No, it wasn't for Jesus. But it will be for you. And therefore, my dear friend of the congregation and my dear daughter, let this be your prayer daily as you start. Unite my heart to the fear of Thy name. Teach me, Lord, the great object for which I was created. And we all know your dream. We know your desire to become an aeronautic engineer. And Hadassah, if that is what God's will is for you, that's fine. But that was not the purpose for which you were created. You were created to glorify your Creator with whatever talents God may have given you and opportunities He may provide you. And therefore this prayer, unite my heart to the fear of Thy name. Let that be your petition daily. As you live on to obey the call that Moses received one day when he counted the pleasures of sin and success for a season not worthy, but rather chose to be afflicted with the people of God. Amen. Let us sing together Psalm 308, the third verse. Let Israel trust in God alone. The Lord whose grace and power are known, to Him your full allegiance yields, and he will be your help and shield. All those who fear him, God will bless. His saints have proved his faithfulness. Psalter 308, verse 3. Congregation, it is necessary that these public vows of a covenanting with the Lord happen in the public assembly. And therefore, it is a tremendous joy that we can be here together to witness this moment in this young member's life. But why is it important, children, that this is done in a public assembly? That's because also Hadassah needs accountability. We cannot live without accountability in this life. We need people to hold us accountable to our promises. For we are always failing and prone to fail. And what a blessing then to be part of a congregation which holds you accountable. Being witness of this today, the members of our congregation here will palm. You bind yourself also to hold this young woman accountable to what she this morning confesses before us, or in our presence before the Lord. And may that indeed be how we as congregation also not only receive her and receive each other, but care for each other. Hadassah Ruth, may I request you to stand up before the Lord this morning and ask you to answer sincerely these four questions. Do you acknowledge the doctrine of our church, which you have learned and heard and confess to be the true and the complete doctrine of salvation conforming with the sacred scriptures? And do you promise by the grace of God to continue steadfastly in the profession of this doctrine, teaching, and live and die in accordance therewith? Thirdly, do you promise at all times to conduct yourself conformably to this doctrine, faithfully, honorably, and beyond approach, and to adorn your confession with good works? And do you promise that you will submit to admonition, correction, and church discipline in the event which God forbid, that you may become delinquent either in life or in doctrine? What is hereupon your answer, Hadassah Ruth? The text Hadassah for you this morning is the text I preached from, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to the fear of thy name." Now the God of grace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, That great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Thus you may be seated. Very special moment, dear Hadassah, in your life that I do not need to add any more personal words to. The scriptures were the words that are of value. And not only to you, but to all of these children and young people, and to us older ones, we are reminded this morning of the moment that you stood here, I stood there, to make this covenanting vow to the Lord God. And I'm sure you'd second me that I say here that I have been unfaithful to keep that vow, broken it daily. But he has never been unfaithful, either to remind me, to correct us, to chastise us, and to bring us back again in this pathway in which we are to walk. And therefore, with these words, dear Hadassah, we commend you to that grace of God, and we ask the congregation to join together in singing from the psalm that we preached from, and that is Psalter 233, and there are verse 5 and 6. And let us now make it our prayer also for this young woman who has now become member of our congregation as well. So verse 5 and 6 of 233, let us sing that together at this moment. Let us close our service in prayer. Eternal covenant keeping God, thou art the source of all blessings that are still descending upon this rebel earth and upon rebel people. And therefore, O God, unite our hearts together to love thee, honor thee, follow thee, bring us together in such unity of surrender to thy Lordship, O Lord Jesus Christ, to trust thee and to obey thee. And we acknowledge thee, Lord, that it is only because of thee that also today we may have witnessed one of us to commit herself with her yes to thee. And all of us who know a little bit about the fickleness of our own hearts know that also Hadassah cannot keep such a vow. Therefore, Lord, we lift her up to thee and plead the words thou pronounced upon her, that thou, O great shepherd of the sheep, to the blood of thy everlasting covenant will make her fruitful, and make her to walk in the way of thy truth. And bless her, Lord, to be a source of many blessings to the people that thou wilt place upon her pathway throughout her journey of life. And so bless us all. Make, Lord, this to be our prayer today. Will thou make us willing to surrender to thee and to consent in this confession? And, O great God, forgive us all what was amiss and discharge us with thy favor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing psalm, Psalter, will be from 425. And typically, on our baptism services, we sing the fifth verse. So that's why this is a psalter that is also important on a day like this. But this morning, we'll just take verse 2 and 3. In joyful songs, your hearts uniting, his works most marvelous reciting. Let's sing verse 2 and 3 of Psalter 425. Before we close, I'll give the deacons the opportunity to stand in the back. And we have catechism class this morning, children. We're thankful that we can do that again for a couple more weeks. So please come out to the front of the church after we have given you the closing blessing. May the Lord, may we go in peace together. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.